and of directives, applicable manuals, and associated handbooks, and other written communications related to Bureau policy and procedure. The senior management analyst will also conduct research and analysis of best practices in support of city and Bureau activities, functions, and programs, and will recommend action and assist in formulating policy, procedure, and legislative positions related to those best practices. Second, the Bureau will contract with LifeWorks Northwest New Options for Women program at a cost of $100,000. New Options for Women, or NOW, provides trauma-informed care to women in Portland in order to help them exit sex industry. Most, if not all, of NOW's clients are survivors of childhood sexual abuse and/or molestation, which includes human trafficking. NOW's services include addictions treatment, treatment for mental health disorders, including psychiatric care as needed, challenging criminality, domestic violence education and support, parenting education, urinalysis to ensure they stay drug-free, and mentoring and case management. NOW provides an environment in which these women are able to speak about their experiences of being trafficked and prostituted and truly address their issues. NOW assists women in their program in finding stable housing, legal income, obtaining education, and it assists them in obtaining any forms of identification they may need. This will be a component of East Precinct's Prostitution Coordination Team, which is a multidisciplinary partnership that includes police, parole and probation officers, the Multnomah County District Attorney's Office, and the Multnomah County Sheriff's Office, and local treatment providers. Multnomah County will use $179,604 in JAG funding for the following three items. It will retain 0.43 full-time equivalent neighborhood deputy district attorney position for a 12-month period at a total cost of $59,868. It will retain 0.49 full-time equivalent parole and probation officer position for 12 months at a total cost of $59,868. And it will retain one full-time equivalent corrections deputy position for 5 months at a total cost of $59,868. Finally, Gresham will use $56,391 in JAG funding to purchase speech recognition software in order to increase productivity by providing sworn members with a faster, easier way to complete administrative work. At this point, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to address those.
So couple questions I should have already known the answer to, but I think your presentation illustrates that the Byrne Grant has a fairly broad spectrum of programs that local government can use the funds on, and there's a lot of choice available to us and the county and to Gresham about how these funds are used. It's not strictly for patrol officers or, you know, unlike the fire grant that we've just sought, it's not strictly a maintenance of effort. It could be targeted at certain community issues like trafficking and prostitution, as you just talked about.
It's relatively broad. It's generally speaking within the realm of law enforcement, but it is expansive in that regard. That's correct.
Yeah. And then the second thing I should have known and wanted to verify, and that is I assume that this funding is not encumbered by sequestration.
To the best of our knowledge, that is the case. This is a grant which has a start date, which is as of October of 2012 and runs through 2016. The award was
prior
delayed, but this is the period for which it's applicable.
Good. Thank you. Other questions?
Well, I guess the senior management analyst, is that what you called it?
Yes.
Is this an existing person or is this a new person?
It is existing. It's to retain a position that was funded under the prior grant.
It was funded under the prior grant?
Yes.
Okay.
These are successive grants.
And so the outline of the uses you just listed for each jurisdiction, that was approved. That's the specific approval by the Justice Department.
That's the programmatic content that was within the application and for which the award was made.
We have to stick within those awards and those amounts.
There are opportunities for reprogramming of the grant.
There are.
There are opportunities for reprogramming of the grant.
Thanks.
So
So you specify when you apply, we're going to use it for these purposes, but you can, under certain circumstances, change that if you want to.
You must apply for the reprogramming.
Okay.
So what deliverables have we had from that position relative to the purposes of this grant so far?
Assistant Chief Krebs may be able to speak more to it.
Yes, that was held by retired Lieutenant Dave Virtue. And Dave Virtue is trying to completely revamp our policy and procedure manual. This was last done in 2009. He's also reformatting it so that we can better take a look and find out exactly what's going on inside of that policy, because sometimes they get very long. He was able to break it out specifically so everyone knows exactly what's required of them. He's also doing some study on stuff on best practices on policies. So he talks with the Police Executive Research Forum and other places like that, where he goes out and finds out what is the best practice in use of force, what is the best practice in vehicle pursuits. His job, or this person's job, would be to do just those things and make sure that our policies are on top of things. I'll give you an example. I went and visited Seattle last week, and they have an entire division that does nothing but policy. They had a lieutenant, a sergeant, and four detectives do nothing to go out and revamp policies to make sure we're in line with best practices. We'll have one person by using this grant to do just that. And I think we actually need more. This will be a good start for us, because right now we really have nobody that sits and pays attention to our policies on an ongoing basis. Based on our 2009 policy, that's the last one we put out, was in 4 years ago. So we're hoping this person can get us on track and make sure that we're keeping up with the best practices in the law enforcement industry.
Given the rest of our relationship with the Department of Justice, seems like an appropriate use of their money.
Oh, yes.
Did this senior management analyst provide us with any recommendations for legislative action in the last session?
Not that I recall. I have no information like that, no.
So I believe that was one of the listed purposes, and so I'd like to see some recommendations, because the position is supposed to go till October of 14.
Right.
I hear what you're saying about lots of people doing it in Seattle, but I wonder how much we need to continue examining policies and establishing best practices.
Okay. So your question is, you want to make sure this person is doing some legislative work also to make sure we get some
providing recommendations to the council for action in the next session for updates. I would hope that they were involved in some of the work that was done at the legislature last session on improving the protections for survivors of human trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
There's more work to do, and I would certainly appreciate that person's. And are you going to be hiring a new person?
Yes. What happened is the other person, Lieutenant Virtue, actually, he retired from the police bureau. He moved into that job as a civilian. He then now quit the Portland Police Bureau, and we're trying right now looking for a new person to fill that spot.
And so it can be a civilian position?
Oh, correct, yes. It is a civilian position, actually. He just retired and then worked that position for, I think, like 9 months or so. But we want to have a civilian person come in and take that spot.
And you'll be advertising for that position?
I think it's already out there. I think they've already advertised it already, looking to fill that position, because it's a very important piece of the DOJ and the things we're doing right now. We tried to reduce the amount of gap. We knew this grant was coming up, and it sometimes take a long time to go out and recruit and interview and choose the right person, but we're in the process of that right now.
But it's possible that applications are still open?
I don't know that for sure, ma'am. I can find out if you'd like.
Yes, thank you, and you're always very responsive. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that.
Okay.
I want to make sure that the advocacy community is aware of this opening, because it would be good to have somebody with lived experience, or at least having worked in the community, advising the police on our policies.
Okay. I can get back with you on that.
Thank you.
Thanks. And I appreciate that suggestion. There was a discussion earlier today about anomalies, let's call them that, in traffic law. You know, if this position can be one that can help organize and collate and suggest to the council, hey, preparing your legislative agenda, here's some things that the Bureau's identified. I want to encourage you to be fairly aggressive about that.
Okay.
Don't hold back if you see things in the field, or if they're bad practices
right. That
are reinforced by bad state law.
Right.
Next 4 months is a good time to hear about those.
Okay. I'm actually over this person. I'm actually supervised, not directly, but I'm the branch assistant chief, so I'll be able to watch this person's work.
Great. Thank you. Other questions for Bob or Chief Krebs? Anyone signed up on this one?
Yes, we have one person signed up, Joe Walsh.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Yep.
Actually, on any of these three items, so.
We'll be back.
Thank you.
name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. There were two things that, when I was listening to the presentation, that caused me some heartburn. First one was they mentioned that there would be public input. I don't know when that's going to happen. If this is public input, is that what we're doing?
Correct.
Okay, since I'm the only one that signed up, would it be reasonable to suggest to you that that's not very good public input, that the publicity lacks something? Because we signed up at the last moment as we were listening to the presentation. The second part I noticed is on the grant money. It's almost a classic example of something that we criticize often, that when the grants come in, that the bureaucracy eats it up. So if you look at this grant, you can see that what you're doing is you're paying for positions, which has worth, and some of it is valuable. But our concern is that when these grants come in, we would like to see the recipients of whatever the grant is supposed to do receive some of the benefits. And by the time it gets down to the people that are actually receiving help, it's very tiny. Because if you have $100,000 going to somebody's salary and you only have a $200,000 grant, that's 50%. And then if you do a couple other positions, it's gone. And I didn't do the math, but it bothered me. And that should be taken into consideration when you go to do these grants, that you either get more money or you stop just looking at positions and saying, can we use this money in other ways? Does that make sense to any of you up there? It bothered me a lot that the bureaucracy just eats up the money. So that's my two concerns. Okay. The first one, I don't like the way you did the public announcement. I don't think there was one. And second of all, if you want to do public input, you have to tell people, please come and talk to us of what you think about and not do it here. That's not fair. Most people don't have the time to do it. I do. I'm retired, unfortunately for you. But most people do not have the time to take off to come down here at 9:30 on a Wednesday morning. So do a better job. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. For the record, my name is Charles Johnson. And while we're talking about this reshuffling of the Ed Byrne Memorial Grant, I just want everybody in a leadership position, both here on the council and from the police department, to consider what are good practices and standards. Recently, Assistant City Attorney Landrum has convinced people that the city is not responsible, that they have practices that allow them to spray mace down the throats of young women. I don't know if the city is actually proud of that picture that circulated around the world where Elizabeth Nichols ate mace, and City Attorney Landrum was able to convince people that in Portland, that's a good policy. So I hope that the police department will engage always with public safety as the number one objective. Other issue is there may be a procedural concern here more within the police bureau. We're talking about, I don't know how long this grant has been available, but the way it's listed in the items 838 through 840 is we got a grant and we had a plan for it and now we're changing. And if that's giving us more effectiveness and more accountability, that's wonderful. If it's just creating another place in bureaucracy, that's not. So I'd like to thank Amanda Fritz for her thoughts that perhaps it being a citizen position, people who have the most dissatisfaction with the way the Portland police interact with their community can use that as a position to help us have better policing in the city. Thank you.
Thank you both. Thanks. Anyone else?
That's all who signed up.
Okay, so let's take a roll call on each of them in turn. They're all emergency ordinances.
838, Saltzman?
Well, I just want to say I'm very pleased to continue to see the LifeWorks New Options for Women program included in this JAG grant, and hopefully it will be remain a component of all future burn grant applications we make, maybe even at a higher level in the future. Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Well, thank you to Assistant Chief Krebs for briefing me on various items today and also for your diligent work on this. I do want to see more public involvement in the next round. It seems like this has come through every single year that I've been on the council, and perhaps involving the budget committee next year in figuring out what should go into this would be appropriate, because posting it on the Police Bureau website is, I don't think too many people are checking that on a daily basis, although perhaps Mr. Walsh is. I disagree with the allocation to LifeWorks at a reduced amount of $100,000 instead of $117,000 as it was last year. I lost on that in the budget discussions, and so I will be supporting this emergency ordinance, but I do want to let my colleagues on the council know that Commissioner Diane McKeel and I are convening a group to meet in September to look at what else could be provided to survivors of human trafficking this year, and we'll be coming to council with a proposal on that probably in October. So, and that we had that discussion during the budget. So, with that, I vote aye.
Bish?
Aye.
Hales?
Been a good discussion. And we do get a lot of grants. Some of them are more routine than others. And I think having some way for the public to get a window into that set of questions about how we spend not just this grant, but you know, we spend our own money and then we spend federal money in lots of different ways. So, I'm interested in exploring that question of how do we in the budget process take up that question. We get these grants. Some of them are extraordinarily targeted, like the fire grant that we're waiting word on, that is solely for the purpose of maintenance of effort in the fire bureau. That's all we could ever spend that money on if we get it. Others, like this burn grant, have more flexibility. You know, the public doesn't have a chance to weigh in other than at a 9:30 council session on an ordinance item, point made well, and I want to look at that in the budget process. Aye. Next one.
839. Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. 840?
840. Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. And the next item, please, 841.
841, accept and appropriate a grant in the amount of $25,000 from and authorize a letter of understanding with the Oregon Department of Justice Criminal Justice Division for sworn personnel overtime for domestic cannabis eradication and suppression efforts.
I asked the Bureau to come make a presentation on this because I knew just the title of it alone was kind of inflammatory.
Right.
So it needed to be aired, if I can use a bad pun. So.
Correct. Mike Krebs again, Assistant Chief. On my right is Bob Azor. On my left is Sergeant Bates. Both work at the Drug and Vice Division. I'll turn it over to them. This is their expertise.
Morning.
Good morning, sir. Like many of the bureaus, we're, you know, faced with some lean times, and what we use this money for, the eradication money, is to continue our services to the community with drug complaints. We field about 2,000 drug complaints a year. Many of those complaints are for illicit marijuana growing operations. Unfortunately, they oftentimes require us to work overtime hours or on the weekends. These are not funds that we use to investigate or go after medical marijuana in any way, shape, or form. A uniformed guy goes out on a routine call. He stumbles across an illegal marijuana grow. The Drugs and Vice Division has to respond to that scene to process that marijuana grow. So we supplement our budget with these funds. That allows us to use overtime funds in other areas. That we like to focus our investigations, heroin, methamphetamine, cocaine, et cetera.
So this is a relatively small amount of money. So
it is.
How do you target and focus that? You know, one, want to reassure the community that this is not Portland police officers roaming around looking for three or four plants in somebody's backyard, because $25,000 wouldn't get you very far, frankly, in that enterprise. So how do you focus and target this on something that has a larger public safety impact than the scenario I just described?
Like I said, usually a lot of a bulk of these funds are chewed up by call-outs, uniform call-outs. So on a Saturday night, a uniform guy stumbles across something. We have to have four guys go out to process that marijuana grow. So you're right. These funds are not really used to actually investigate or, you know, focus efforts on marijuana growing operations. It's usually for a cleanup effort.
Other questions, counsel? Okay, good. Thanks for the explanation. Any public testimony on this item?
Yes, we have five people signed up.
So we may need you back after the testimony. Yeah. Stand by.
I figured that.
The first three, please, coming up are Joseph Gordon, Joel Severs, and Angela Hammett.
Good morning. Oh, I start first? Oh, okay. Well,
give us your name again.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm Joseph Gordon, a.k.a. Tequila. Pretty much I got to say about accepting a fund, that pretty much we know this money can go to somewhere else. A grant. Busting marijuana, how can I say, because it seems so, how can I say, if you ask the average police officer, it's a waste of time. Don't get me wrong, illicit growing, to me the problem is marijuana. I don't smoke marijuana anymore, just to let you all know. I do like to be, you know, clear thought and solidarity things. But, excuse me, I got 3 minutes. I don't think I can. I just don't agree. I just don't agree with accepting a fund. Because to me, accepting all these funds from the government, all this, is basically their hands. It's oversighting you. We give you all these plans. When there is also obvious more things that this money could be used for, I will say, especially for the houseless situation of outside. That can definitely be used for that. I mean, to me, wasting the police officer's time when they could be busting meth houses, heroin, you know, seizures, et cetera, to me, it's going out looking for marijuana. To me, it's a waste of time and resources altogether. You know, that's my personal opinion. To me, legalize it, make some money from it. That's what we like to hear from the, you know, thing, but legalize it. I mean, it's wasting their time. They can actually be busting child molesters and, you know, real drug dealers rather than finding people that's growing plants. And that's all I got to say about that part.
Hi, my name's Angela Hammett, and I'm in agreement. We're talking about a peaceful flower here. Don't suppress the flower. Use that money to help people get in homes, like, you know, vouchers, rent vouchers. I've been on the street for a little over a year now. I don't want to do another winter outside or spring or fall or summer. I was offered, someone from Join said they could get me a first, last, and security deposit. But that gives me 1 month, really, because, you know, that other month is for your last month, which I don't want it to be my last month. But how does a person find a job that could sustain that apartment, if you can even get one? I've been searching for a month now for an apartment, and I can't find anything that's affordable. I can't find anything that is in the right area, whatever. The fees, I mean, that can eat you up right there with all your money, just paying for another background check, another this, another that. First, last, and deposit isn't enough. It would take more time for someone to, I mean, it's going to take a month to catch up on sleep just from being deprived out here for that long. I just think the money could be better spent helping people get inside. I shouldn't be out here a year later. I had a job and a car when I first came out here, but without a home, I couldn't sustain the others. Just couldn't do it.
Please, yeah.
And first of all, thank you for your testimony. And you're raising a very important point, and let me put it in the context of a voice we heard last year, which was homeless veterans that were not able to use a federal program that was a voucher program because they didn't eligible veterans didn't have first and last month, didn't have bus fare, didn't have a phone or access to a phone to call landlords to set up appointments. A disabled veterans didn't have transportation. The city, the county, Home Forward, and United Way all pooled $10,000 each, created a pot of $40,000, what we call soft dollars, which were used for this purpose. And with those dollars, all the vouchers got put into use. Because what we found is, you know, that old expression, for want of a nail. Because we didn't have the soft dollars, we were losing a fortune in underused vouchers. And in hearing your testimony and earlier testimony from someone else who was talking about a credit history, we also hear from people who have minor criminal justice infractions which follow them. And imagine, all of those become barriers to gaining access to programs which we fund. And as Joe points out, that's nuts. And it's for want of a nail. So I will be bringing an amendment to whatever proposal comes to council later this month. I think Commissioner Saltzman is intending to bring a homeless appropriation package. I'll be bringing an amendment, which we're currently crafting. Among other things, we'll include additional money for Operation Clean Slate. Clean Slate is the program that we fund through PDC that helps people remove things from their records, which really allows them then to get clean credit histories and therefore be successful renters. And I think the point you're making is a good one, and we have to be cognizant that sometimes it's a small amount of money and a barrier like a credit history, a minor criminal conviction, those soft dollars that prevent people from accessing programs, absolutely, which we invest millions in. So I appreciate your voice, and I think just as this council stepped up to help homeless veterans overcome those barriers, I think we have a chance in our supplemental appropriation becoming a council to address this as well, and I'll be talking to the Housing Commissioner about that.
Thank you.
Nick, you might get my vote.
You might get my vote, actually.
Honestly. Wow, that's cool. My name is Joel Sievers. Wow, that pretty much summed it up. I don't even know what to talk about.
You can tell
now.
About us, I guess.
Oh, yeah. We called 211, by the way. 211 pretty much gave up on us. Due to I have a felony conviction on my record for methamphetamine.
You guys got me.
So somebody did their job. Let's see what else happened. Oh yeah. What was it? We went apartment searching, and a lot of these places don't even put up for rent signs because they have such a long waiting list, and the list is all filled up. Once an opening happens, somebody jumps right into the place. And so that's what we struggled with, in that I'm on probation, and it's pretty much a probation violation for me to be homeless. Mm-hmm. And then being over at the TPI building, Bud Clark, would be a no-no because methamphetamine, crack, heroin run that place. You know what I mean? And so there needs to be some sort of structure within the United States and within the federal guidelines to house people with mental disabilities, you know, food alcohol syndrome, learning disabilities. Something must be done. We're going to take a trip with the Portland Housing Director on Wednesday.
We still got to talk to him.
Okay, never mind. We still got to talk to him, but he wants to come with us to be our eyes and ears. And then if that doesn't work, we can move to federal trial if something doesn't happen. So, I mean, we could waste a bunch of money on lawyers, which I think that sounds like a pretty good idea, even though our suggestion will get denied. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thanks, all three of you. I encourage you to keep working with Join and anyone else that can help and look for ways to close these gaps like Commissioner Fish.
Yeah, well, pretty much I would say 211 gave up. They said we did everything possible. The Rentwell program, it only takes in the first 8 people per month, and it's like calling a radio show.
The first 8 people.
Yeah, it's the first 8 people, and it's like you have me and him. We're ringing and ringing and ringing. It's busy, 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 busy. And by the time it's over, even his probation, he kept, oh, would you try? You try, try, try. You know, oh, well, the rent was better. And then when 211, actually, when we call back 211 and told him, he said, have you got TPI? Have you got insurance? No, credit report. And like he said, I'm sorry, but you guys did everything. And this is recorded. This was on the day of, it will be Tuesday of 2 weeks ago, if I'm not mistaken, Tuesday. It's recorded on 211 when they said there's nothing else we can do. And we get it. And you know the story. That's what this, and honestly, it's really ridiculous. It really is, because we have the money to get an apartment, and we're not asking for subsidized rent or anything else. We're just asking for a place to pay rent. Then that's it. I mean, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, well, thanks. No, we appreciate you coming in and letting us know what's not working. I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah.
No,
yeah,
it's no,
not,
problem.
It's sorry, not, it's not no working. Problem. If you hadn't come in, we probably wouldn't have known, you know, clearly what's not working. So I appreciate you doing this.
Well, yeah, totally. I mean, since housing came into Portland, they listed housing, apartments, housing, and shelters. Now that happened, we need to go through the cracks, and we need to fix this. We need to fix this problem. I mean, I know that there's a lot of things that need to be fixed in Portland, but I think housing would be a really good one. And then the Burnside Bridge, that needs to probably be repaired or something, you know, and I mean.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
And one more thing about the Rentwell program. If you ask me, I'll just about the Rentwell program. To me, that's really, that's a big issue that's blocking our way as well. Because everybody who says, basically, they take our application or they don't take the application, the ones, they'll say, either what they take it and it was denied ever since the past. And now, like recently, the ones they'll say, we will feel bad if I'll take your money and then, you know, you don't pass the thing. But H1, just about 99%. But have you heard of the Rentwell program?
Mm-hmm.
See, so basically what this have created, even though I understand the structure of the Rentwell program, how it's supposed to work, but really now it's blocking the way for so many because everyone now wants this $2,000 guarantee.
Yep.
So basically on top of you get a rented deposit, you get this $2,000 if we mess up. And
yeah,
it became a blockage for us.
Real estate agencies of Portland picked up on this 211 thing. And a lot of them are going after it. And a lot of these apartments or places that are low income all have the same sign on them. They all sponsor the same thing. And they're all connected like it's a 7-Eleven.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, I'm just saying. And I understand the goodwill, what Rentwell Pulse to bring. But yeah. I found that the Rentwell program, I mean, not goodwill, but Rentwell, I found that the Rentwell program, it becomes it's a block for so many because everyone now wants this $2,000.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate the info. Right. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Anyone else signed up on this item?
We have Mark Hoffhines and Barry Joe Stoll.
Okay, Charlie, you're on. Good morning.
Good morning. Do you want to back clean up or leave?
No, I'll wait. Thanks.
And Mark.
Hey.
Who's on first?
Go ahead.
Actually, Mark. Go ahead, Charles.
Mine's going to be a while, so go ahead.
It's good to be back, Commissioners. I do want to express a couple thoughts. When we look at this item 841 on the agenda, there is an 8 or 9 page PDF. That should have eaten up about $25,000 in itself, though, knowing the way the government works sometimes. We don't have to eradicate or suppress any marijuana if we spend $25,000 on paperwork. This is, of course, an issue. I also like tequila. I'm not a smoker and haven't indulged in marijuana ever in the state of Oregon. But many people find this a helpful substance. the law is complicated, hopefully by ballot initiative that will be fixed. But I think one thing that you can look for is the speedy, expedient expenditure of these monies. A couple of marijuana cleanups from complaints from the community, this will be done. The other thing we should consider is, since marijuana is a recognized medicine, it's rather silly that we're paying the government to destroy it. If it's at all possible, and maybe we should consult with the city attorney, these confiscated plants should be put into the medical distribution channel. Thank you.
Thanks. Next, please.
Hello, I'm Barry Joe Stull. I have 5 felony convictions. Every one of them's for marijuana. In the state of Oregon, possession of more than an ounce of marijuana is a felony. And one of the interesting things that happened to me this century was cops are acting a little weird. And I followed up on it, and I found out that when they run my name, it comes up on the screen in the squad car, potential armed career criminal. If found in possession of a firearm, notify the ATF. So I called up Monique at the ATF, and I found out that owing to these felony convictions, where there's a status in Oregon law where you could get a 10-year prison sentence for possession of more than an ounce of marijuana, 3 of those are considered by the federal government the equivalent of a violent federal felony. And having 3 of those, if I'm found in a possession of a firearm, the reason they want to contact, the ATF wants to be contacted, is so they can prosecute me for a 15-year mandatory minimum no parole for being an armed career criminal. Well, you can imagine what a police officer thinks, as the one did in Toledo, Oregon, when he ran my name and it came up potential armed career criminal. Well, we might look around the room here and see some potential mothers. I'm not one of them. So the potential armed career criminal is if I am found in possession of a firearm. It's not potentially armed and dangerous, as they think, as they do the felony traffic stop. Well, my bust for marijuana came in 1989. The Portland police gave Elizabeth Susan Johnson drugs and money to act as an informant. I made that part of the record. And we claimed in that court proceeding that she was a known heroin addict, liar, and thief. Well, now, thanks to the wonders of the internet, we can find out that Ms. Johnson, here these 25 years later, has been arrested for possession of heroin, theft, and giving false information to a police officer in the last 2 years. So this stinks. What we're talking about, if I can just give you some history, we're talking about the most important agricultural product in the history of humanity. We look on the side of later commerce on the Portland Seal, and we see the sailing ships. That's cannabis. The word canvas and the word cannabis are the same word. This is something that is incredibly valuable. We use it for food, fiber, oil, and we know, as people have discussed, medicine. And so once we can continue to enact prohibition, we don't have people growing a few plants in their yard as they once did when I lived in the city of Portland. What we do have is we have criminal enterprises that are based on the fact that this prohibited substance, which is technically a weed, is so valuable because otherwise honest, capable, and honorable persons like yours truly have to be subjected to this in the name of prohibition. So I suggest that you refuse to take this money, or if you do take this money, that it's qualified to get those folks that are sending pod movable storage units to the east with hundreds of pounds of marijuana grown under the auspices of the Medical Marijuana Act. And I would suggest that I would not accept anything that was seized by the police for medicine, because the people that are getting busted, you know, they might be doing some things like using systemics, which are chemicals that make the plant toxic so that it looks better because it doesn't have any insects. So we have a problem here, folks. And now that I've endured the experience that I've done, I've already got one lawsuit against the city of Portland as we speak, and there will be many more before the two-year statute of limitations runs out for the raft of experience that I generate simply because my felony convictions for marijuana coming out of the city of Portland. So I'm eminently qualified to talk about this subject. The research that I obtained at the Library of Congress beginning in 1985 was used by four authors, Hemp Today.
I'll get you to wrap up.
Hemp Today, the number one selling book on hemp, The Emperor Wears No Clothes by Jack Hare, includes an article that, to quote, hemp will prove the most profitable and desirable crop that can be grown. Not here, because it competes with timber, it competes with petroleum, it competes with nuclear power, and those poisons only have a way to be here, ruining our environment, because we've outlawed and prohibited the most important agricultural product in the history of humanity.
Thanks very much.
Yes, my name is Mark Hoffines. I think it's
excuse your name for the record, sorry.
Name's Mark Hoffines.
Sorry, Mark.
And I believe it's a misappropriation of funds, because, I mean, we could be doing so much more. Give you my example of who I am, actually, I'm the liaison for the Occupy Movement Outside. I have a paralegal degree, et cetera. Nick Fish and I have talked about a locker system briefly, but we still have a meeting. I think things can be used a lot better. Myself, okay, I don't do drugs. I don't even smoke weed. I don't drink. But yet, I'm still stuck on the streets because I'm stuck. I have to do my treatment, not to work through DHS, making myself. I'm actually a citizen on the streets that has to live outside on the streets. Okay, and being forced into the scenarios which I'm forced into, and labeled as others. You know what I'm saying? So, in support of the fact that they are being neglected, I want to make the point this out that you know. There's alternate uses for these kind of funding. For example, being proper police training on how to appropriately handle the transient, the handicapped, the ADA persons out here, because they are definitely not doing that. They are very ignorant and abusive towards them people. Independent investigations for abuse of power, excessive force under the color of law, constitutional law, and recognition therein through proper ethics. These kind of educations for the police bureau could actually be better, more proper use. Example for this kind of abuse is examples in the bicycle officer Sanders is only one person's name I have currently on me. And the officer that was bitten after invading a sleeping transient space and inciting the animal to its animalistic instinct of protection of its owner by shoving the camera into its comfort and safety zone. As only a few of the most obvious and recent events unfolded, okay. The locker, like I said, the locker system, which to be discussed in further in September 25th, 2013, with prayer and outreach discussion prior to that date. Commissioner Nick Fish are being supportive of the proposal, even as it has only been communicated verbally. Finding places for transient individuals to safely sleep instead of being forced into unsafe and inhumane places where the city is forcing the health and the life of the transient to be at risk by poisoning them with direct contact with fossil fuels known to kill rapidly, carbon dioxide, known to kill in suicide attempts, and incidental deaths in children and families in the middle and upper classes even. And yet we're being forced to sleep next up against the curb where those fossil fuels and exhaust fumes are being forced within our faces on a constant basis. Without it, henceforth, with this knowledge, I implore the council to acknowledge that the city and the Bureau of Police included are causing immediate and forceful harm, whether intentional or unintentional, intentional murder, or engaging in assisted suicide. Okay, tents are one safeguard against this. Okay, but not all of these dangers. I also have the Eugene ruling which the Constitution does not. I can get you guys a copy of this. The Constitution does not and between a period of hours, okay? And it was a municipal court who actually acknowledged it, so it was even the lower courts. So that is I want to present to you guys so we can get that handled. As far as the tents going, because I was told about you saying upon the news that we can put our tents, okay?
Right, well, got that wrong.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure. I didn't hear it, wasn't there, so forth. But
no, I got that wrong. I mean,
okay. Yeah, well, anyways, I also have a ruling that actually where the camping ordinance has already been ruled unconstitutional.
Let's get it closed because we got to deal with this marijuana issue.
Well, that's what I'm saying is this is the kinds of things that we're being subjective to, which could be more focused on than the marijuana, which we have a state next to us that is already legally. So it's going to be influxed anyways.
Right.
So it's a waste of our appropriated money. And if you can, you guys can get with me somehow so very soon. I can present these things to you because we need to solve these issues. Because as I said, you know, now that they're being presented, you guys are very aware of the risks and the health factor that we are sustaining. And I'm actually one of those as well. You know, I'm well educated, and I'm still stuck out here on the streets.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks, y'all.
Is that all on signed up?
That's all who signed up.
So just Mike, come back up. This particular grant, how much flexibility do we have? Is it solely for the purpose of eradicating marijuana? I mean, is that...
Let me have Jay answer that question.
Yeah.
Sir, what we can use the money for, clothing and protective gear, equipment. We can use it for aircraft support, but it's going to be for eradication of marijuana as well. Over time, like I said, supplies, training, and vehicular rental. And that's going to usually be for our large-scale marijuana seizure where we got to go rent U-Hauls to haul that stuff down to the property room.
But, I mean, it is targeted at the drug eradication issue, not fungible to some other police
purpose. That's correct, sir. It's actually a DEA grant that's run by DOJ.
All right. Other council questions before we take the roll call on this? Okay.
Yes, actually, Mr. Mayor, if I may ask, what normally happens when we respond to a complaint about marijuana growing? Are there some cases where you just tell people, shut it down, and we don't arrest them? I mean, are there other cases where, I mean, how often are pure marijuana growing cases prosecuted? How often do people go to jail, to prison, et cetera?
You know, in Multnomah County, I would say that prison is pretty unlikely. For your first-time offender of growing marijuana.
What about jail?
Same. Pretty unlikely. So usually we handle these things with a knock and talk, where we go up and knock. We don't spend a lot of time, as I said earlier, on marijuana investigations. The first thing that we do, and I to go back to the point of what some of the other people were bringing up, is the first thing we do when we get a complaint is we check the address to make sure that it is not a legal site for growing marijuana. And if it's a legal site for growing marijuana, we're pretty much done with our investigation. Again, these funds are not utilized for anything associated with medical marijuana.
Yeah, I was just trying to think. I mean, and it's my understanding. I mean, this is money that comes from the feds, which is only for marijuana, and it's not money we'd get for any other purpose. I was just kind of thinking about the impact of using the money on other public funds within the state. So that's why I'm curious. I mean, accepting this money lead to more prosecutions, more people in jail, expenditure of more local and state funds than otherwise we'd see?
To tell you that it does not at all would be untruthful. I'm sure that there are some other expenses that are associated with that. Unfortunately, the situations that I described to you, they are illegal, and we do have to respond to them. And these funds can supplement that so that we're not using our funds, Drugs and Vice Division funds, on those types of investigations. We're then able to use the funds that we're given in our budget to go after, you know, harder drugs.
But in many cases, you say it is just a knock and talk. Even if people are growing, if they're growing a few plants, you might just tell them to knock it off.
It's usually referred to the DA's office. I don't think that we have the power to say what we're going to.
What does the DA normally do?
It's dependent. You know, I mean, it can go either way. Based on statements, the cooperativeness of the individual,
Prior convictions, probably?
Prior convictions, et cetera.
I think the big piece is if we don't accept this money, we'll be using our overtime budget at the Drugs and Vice Division to do this job, which would then take away from our ability to go after the more difficult drug cases, the meth and stuff like that. So it's either we leave the money where it's at and not use it, or we take it and use it now and not deplete our fund while doing these types of things. So it's that's how I see it. So.
And the one thing that I would tell you is, you know, oftentimes what we do see in a lot of these indoor marijuana grows is, you know, it's put together with very shoddy electrical wiring. It's not electricians going in there doing the work on these things. And there are still people living in these homes with that, you know, that type of danger, not to mention the chemical hazards associated with growing marijuana inside a house.
Thank you. Other questions? So let me just comment. I mean, this has been a good discussion, and I appreciate the testimony. And I knew when this was on the calendar that it was going to be an awkward moment because we're in a strange place as a community, and the police bureau is in a strange place. We have a neighboring state that's legalized marijuana. We have a federal government that still treats it as a serious drug and associates it directly with criminality. Sometimes true,
sometimes
not always.
True.
And we have a movement afoot in our own state that might change state law at the same time. My recommendation and plan, if we approve this, is take this money, and I pledge you as a police commissioner, I will supervise closely how it's used, because I think the community's sensibility about the priority of marijuana, small marijuana growers, is well understood here. It's not a high priority. And so when I talked with the chief about this, you know, his sense is that there'll be rare occasions in which we focus these overtime hours on serious cases where probably other drugs are also involved as well. You can't forecast exactly what kind of cases the Bureau is going to get. But I suspect this is the last year. I think that this is the last year in which we have this discussion, because something's going to change. Either state law is going to change or the federal government's going to change. I'd bet on the state first, because the federal government's way behind the curve on this issue. So I guess, in bottom line, my pledge to you as the commissioner in charge of this Bureau is we will manage these funds with care and sensitivity to where the community's mind is on this issue rather than to where the federal government's policy is stuck.
Thank you.
So that's how we're doing. Roll call.
Saltzman.
Appreciate the discussion. Appreciate your remarks, Mayor. Aye.
Novick.
I really appreciate the mayor's comments, and without those comments and with a different mayor, I might vote otherwise. I mean, I agree that this is a tough issue. I mean, I think there's a lot of people who believe that marijuana should be legal. On the other hand, even if it were legal, I think that it would still be regulated like alcohol, and we still respond to, you know, illegal manufacture of alcohol. So even with legal marijuana, we would still respond to illegal manufacture of marijuana. Absent the mayor's remarks and your remarks, I would be concerned about sort of the spin-off effects of taking this money, because if I thought that meant that the county is going to spend more money on prosecution and jails and marijuana cases than they currently do, I would have concerns. My guess is that, and sort of taking on faith that you're right, you still have to respond to these complaints anyway. You can't just tell people we don't respond to calls about illegal marijuana growing. So I'm kind of taking it on faith that accepting this money isn't going to result in more expenditure of public funds that otherwise would happen at the county level or the city level. Also, I have to say I'm probably somewhat influenced today by the fact that I talked to a doctor recently who said that she had previously thought that marijuana was fine and not dangerous, and there's recent research that's come out saying that it's somewhat problematic, which sort of I'd like to follow up on that and see what regulation, I mean, does such research exist, and what does that say in terms of future regulation of the product, even if we make it legal? So with that rambling preamble and with some misgivings, and thanking the mayor very much for his comments, I'll vote aye.
Fritz.
I'm a retired registered nurse. I strongly support medical marijuana. I strongly oppose legalization of marijuana, and I appreciate this grant. I appreciate the mayor's comments. I think in this instance, Oregon has it right, and that those states with legal marijuana are, that's not wise use of prescription drugs are not for recreational use, and we have a big problem with addiction to prescription drugs. And so I have some research on the poor impacts of marijuana, in part because my kids got it in middle school, the education about the impacts of marijuana. And we have only to look at the challenges that the mayor and I are having with the Oregon Liquor Control Commission to see that we're not doing such a bang-up job with the recreational use of alcohol in our city and in our state. So I appreciate this grant and your work on it. Aye.
Fish.
You know, this discussion reminds me of one of my favorite expressions. Went to the fights and
hockey game broke out. I mean, this was originally bumpered as accepting a grant, and it's been a very thoughtful discussion about the interplay of state and federal law, the coming fight over legalization, and how we strike a balance. I, too, appreciate the mayor's thoughtful comments, and this will be a conversation we'll be having a lot over the next year and a half. Thank you. Aye.
Hales.
These funds are marked handled with care. Aye. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Thank you. Okay, we have a couple more. Also, rather peculiar-looking item 842, so we wanted to make sure the Bureau came and explained that.
Authorize a memorandum of understanding with the U.S. Coast Guard and the Portland Police Bureau to transfer and destroy narcotics.
Morning.
I'll turn it over to Property Evidence Manager Division, Dave Benson.
Hey, Dave. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor and Council. My name is Dave Benson. I'm manager of your Property Evidence Division. The United States Coast Guard occasionally seizes user quantities of illicit drugs on the waterways in the area. They have no way to dispose of seized illicit drugs. They've asked us to do it on their behalf because we have that a method to do that. The quantities we're talking about are so small, the cost to us are either zero or negligible. So we've entered into this agreement with the Coast Guard, hoping that you will concur.
Thank you. Questions?
Can we slip a friendly amendment in there, Dave, that says that they won't raise the bridges without our concurrence?
I think that'd be a good idea.
Boy, that would be a bargain. Thank you. Question? Any further questions? Any public testimony on this one?
No one signed up.
Okay, then let's take a roll call. No, I'm sorry. It's moved to second reading.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you.
And then finally, we have second reading on 843.
Yes, Mike Crespo. Sorry.
Delegate authority to the Chief of Police to execute and amend agreements in support of law enforcement training.
I know there's some questions about this, and Assistant Chief Krebs is here, but those questions have been answered. We can take a roll call.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Assistant Chief Krebs for briefing me on this. This makes it clearer what the lines of authority and the necessary sign-offs are. Yeah. Aye.
Fish?
Oh, wait. Can I call you Commander, or do I have to call you Chief now?
You can call me Commander, sir. Anything you want. It can be Mike.
Commander was such a wonderful title for so long.
I had it, like, for 6 years. I actually enjoyed it. This Chief, the word Chief, I never turn around. Someone will call me Chief, and I'm like, who's he talking to? It can't be me. Just
intuitively, I think a Commander is actually being above Chief somehow. But it's always stuck with you, sir. So yeah. Anyway, Chief.
Okay.
Aye.
Thank you.
Hales.
Thank you, Mike, for all your service here this morning to explain all this complexity of items. Thank you. Aye. And we are recessed until
we have the pulled item.
Oh, sorry. One more. We had the deferred item from the consent calendar. Sorry.
I have 844.
Oh, sorry, Steve. Sorry. Let's do 844. I have to keep my glasses on. There's just no excuse for not putting them on all the time, other than vanity. 844, please, Carla.
Amend intergovernmental agreement with Oregon Department of Transportation for the Red Electric Trail Project to clarify congestion mitigation and air quality program funds, reference the current local agency certification program agreement, and update project and staff contact information.
Okay. Any further council discussion? Second reading, roll call.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye. And then we have 819, wasn't it, that was pulled from consent?
Yes. Provide confidentiality for complainant information submitted to the Office of Neighborhood Involvement as allowed under Oregon law.
Carla, who pulled that?
Mr. Lightning.
Is he still here?
Lightning, do you want to testify on this item? Yeah, please, come on up. Morning.
Good
Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. My name is Lightning. One of the issues I have, I guess, with any type of city inspection or things of this nature is that I think we